Hello and welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zaro Kopinski. On today's show, I'm sharing an interview with Paul Swiden, owner of my local independent bookstore, Silver Unicorn Books in Acton, Massachusetts. Visiting a local bookstore to choose your next read or to attend an author event is such a great way to enhance your reading life, and bringing your kids along is a wonderful way to build that culture of reading in your home. Paul gives a behind-the-scenes look at running a bookstore and shares some book recommendations you'll want to add to your TBR list. I hope you enjoy listening to our conversation.
Welcome, Paul. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So you opened the Silver Unicorn Bookstore in Acton, Mass. About 6 months ago, is that right?
Almost, yeah. It was the end of March. March 24th was our opening day.
Well, I live nearby, and I'm just really happy you've come to the area. I visited, I follow you online, and your store just has such an inviting atmosphere, and it just seems like it's going to be a really exciting addition in the community. Can you tell me a little bit about how Silver Unicorn Bookstore got started and why you decided to take that on?
Sure. One of the main reasons was, as I'm sure you know, we had a bookstore in Acton for over 20 years called Willow Books, and it closed up in 2017, but it wasn't necessarily from lack of demand. The owner just was ready to retire or take on new projects. There was a built-in market still there in town. Here in town, rather. So I sort of saw that opportunity along the same time. I was sort of burnt out on the job that I was doing at the time, which was, I was a baseball writer and editor. So I was sort of looking for a new challenge. And, the two kind of combined to leading me down this path.
And are you from Acton, or were you already living there before?
We had been living there. I'm not from here. I was born in Lowell, raised in Shrewsbury. And after I graduated from Boston University, I ended up living in Denver for about 8 years. And then we moved back, I think, in 2012.
Well, one of the things that I think is really exciting about the store, I keep watching your event calendar, and it's just really wonderful to see you have book clubs. You started out, I saw a Rick Riordan book club. I noticed you've got a really interesting event coming up with Louise Miller and some other authors where they're going to be hosting a dinner with food from their books, and there's a Dog Man release party. I mean, just a whole host of things. Is that a big focus for you with the store, just sort of creating that community center aspect?
Yeah, absolutely. I think independent bookstores in this day and age get over on three things: curation, convenience, and community. So I can definitely directly control the curation and the community aspects, and then the convenience is just being available, but doing the events absolutely helps create a sense of community, and we want people to feel like they want to come down here at times when, they don't necessarily even want to buy a book.
Right. I love that you're offering so many children's book events as well. I think that's such a powerful experience for kids to have. I'm a school librarian and I have a young daughter as well, and I love that we're able to really give kids those experiences in the area. And when you were talking about curation, I think your name comes from this. You had that quote on your website that says, "Inside these walls, we believe you'll find your unicorn, the book that speaks specifically to you." I love that. Could you talk about the role you're kind of hoping to play in people's reading lives in that way?
I just want people to, I think to me the best part of going into a bookstore is finding something you weren't looking for. So I always want to be able to, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have bestsellers in the store and, you know, new releases, but we always want to make sure that we're highlighting stuff that you wouldn't necessarily have found. You know, one of the ways we're doing that is we have a local interest section. You know, we have pretty unique staff picks, I think. And in our kids section, we have books. We have an area where the books are all faced out, because it can be hard to kind of weed through picture books, especially if you've got a little one tugging on your, you know, your shirt
exactly.
or whatever.
Exactly.
So we try to make it as easy as possible for people who may not have a lot of time, and just, you know, if that sparks an interest or sparks a question, and then we can kind of talk to them about other books that we know, that's really the goal.
Yeah, for sure. And you make it really comfortable, I think, for people to browse, and families in particular to browse. I have a toddler who loved your children's area. It's so whimsical, and she loved you have that little door in the wall. So she was very entertained by that and loved all the comfortable seating. So it's such a nice place to go and browse and discover new books. So I really loved that aspect.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it got me thinking when I was in there too. I know sometimes in bookstores, I think I'm probably not alone, you sort of feel like, oh, I don't want to bother the staff asking for their recommendations, but I try to remind myself that, you know, as a librarian, I love when people come up and ask me for book ideas, and I'm guessing it's the same way in a bookstore. What would you say to someone who's sort of nervous to ask their local bookstore for recommendations?
Just to come up with us, and, you know, we'll do our best to come up and say hi and ask people if they need anything. That's one of our focal points, is to make sure that everyone who comes in the door is spoken to, mm-hmm. you know, not harassed, you know, like we're not trying to sell mattresses or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, just to make sure everyone gets greeted, and, you know, if they have any questions right off the bat. And some people will come in and they'll say, yes, I have a very specific question. Other people, it maybe will take them a few minutes before they work up to it. Either way is fine. You know, it's just coming up and saying hi, and know that's what we like as well. We like to recommend books. Everyone likes to feel like they get to speak to what they love. So I would say that, you know, just ask us. We love talking about books.
I love that. Well, I'm sure a lot of people like me have had that dream of owning a bookstore. And I was curious to hear from you what a typical day is like running the store.
So I try to get here at the latest by 9. I have two kids of my own. So depending on the day, I may have them with me or I may not have them with me. Obviously, summer is a little trickier than the fall in that regard. But I'm usually here from 9 to 1 every day. And then if I have to run off and pick up the children from somewhere, I'll be doing that. But, you know, just a typical day involves, you know, doing reorders for books that may have been sold in the last day or two, paying bills, you know, talking with my buyer about, you know, what books we're going to get in for the next season. Social media is a big part of my day. I say to people, you have to make it a part of your daily routine if you're going to be successful at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I try very hard to make it a daily thing. There's been a couple of Sundays when I didn't send out any social media posts, but you can count on us doing a couple of things each day. Fridays I do our newsletter. So that's a big part of my Friday. But yeah, the thing that is fun about a bookstore is that no 2 days are the same.
Right.
And I think that was that was part of what was burning me out in my past job, is that, you know, I had to have, as an editor of a website, I had to have a story up at 6 a.m. every day, which meant that realistically, I had to have it finished and scheduled in the queue before I went to bed.
Right.
So after four years of that, it was, you know, that same sort of thing every day, every day, every day. It, you know, it got to be a little bit much.
Yeah, I'm sure there's so much variety with the bookstore, for sure. And you were talking about discussing with your buyer what books be maybe ordering and featuring. And I'm curious, one thing I'd love to know about is how in your role you discover the books that you're going to have in the store and how you find time to read as many books as you can and just your process for choosing and sharing books with the community.
So initially I was given a big recommendation list from my wholesaler. You know, they said, pick the sections you like and, you know, pick the, you know, tell us about the demographics of your area and we'll curate a list for you. And so I went through that initially and that was easy. I mean, it was a lot of work, but it was easy just to go through the list and say yes, no, yes, no, and then kind of backfill with stuff that I had heard of or I had read in the past, you know, before I was doing this for a living. But now, you know, we work with publisher reps who have lists of their catalogs, and then they go one step further and recommend specific books from their catalog. So there's a little bit more contact with each list, and we get a little more guidance, which is great because, you know, obviously they know their books better than we do, at least initially.
Right.
And another thing that's helpful is now that we've been open for a little while, we can see, you know, the trends and what people are purchasing. And, you know, we sell a lot of kids' books, whether picture books or middle grade or YA. So that's a real point of focus for us. And, mm-hmm. you know, we do very well with fiction, mystery, that kind of stuff. So that's a big point of focus for us as well. But we're paying attention to all of it because, you know, like I said, going back to convenience, you have to have as wide a range as possible to make people feel that, you know, if they come in, they're going to find, you know, what they're looking for.
Do you have a favorite section that you tend to gravitate toward and read a lot from?
No, I'm more of a fiction than a nonfiction person.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely that side of it, but I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say I gravitate towards any specific type of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I just like a good story. So no, not really.
I'm curious what books right now you're really excited to be recommending to people in the store.
Honestly, local stuff. We've got the two books, there's three books coming out in the next month by local authors that I really loved. The first is called The Magic of Melwick Orchard by Rebecca Caprara, which is a middle grade book. It's sort of fantasy-ish, but it's very grounded in reality. It's about a family with two daughters and, one of the younger daughter has cancer and the older daughter is beginning to feel forgotten by her family as they deal with, you know, the cancer treatments and then also keeping their house and everything afloat. It was a really great read. I read it in one day. The next one is Uncharted by Aaron Cashman, which is a really great YA kind of mystery book.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, After Zero by Christina Collins. So Rebecca and Aaron both live in Boxborough. Christina is a Maynard native who now lives in Northern Ireland. And her book After Zero was also really great about this girl who became so nervous talking. She's for the first time going to school. I believe it's eighth grade, possibly seventh grade. She gets so nervous talking, and she gets into so much trouble when she opens her mouth that she starts not talking. And so after zero is after she's gotten to the point where she's said zero words in an entire day. And it's a really great read. I thought it was really sensitively done.
She's going to be on a panel, right? I think I saw that.
Yep. So she's going to be stateside for the book's launch. And so she's going to be in store here September 16th. And we're doing an event with Rebecca and Aaron on September 12th. And I'm very much looking forward to those events. You know, there's obviously lots of like big national books that are coming out this fall. But the ones that I've really sort of gravitated to are the books by local authors, because understanding how hard it is to get a book published by a legitimate national, by a publisher with legitimate national distribution, and seeing that there's, all these people that live in our community that have done that is just, it's really a big deal as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm very happy and enthusiastic to support those people.
Well, I think that's so great. And just one more unique feature I think your store brings to the table, because that is hard to find on your own, and to have you curating all of that I think is really wonderful. And the other thing I really like that you're doing, I'm signed up for your newsletter. I think this is where I first saw it, that you're sharing store bestsellers. And I know now you have it up on the website too, where you can sort of click through and see the different store bestsellers. I thought that was such a nice feature to have. And, it's always nice to see sort of the national bestsellers and the indie bestsellers, but to see something local to your store, I thought was really a really nice way to get some new ideas of what you might want to read next and look for in the store. And I saw, just looking at it right now, I don't know if you're a Crazy Rich Asians fan, but I have been excited to see how popular that's gotten with the movie, because I love that series and happy that more people are reading that one now.
Yeah, absolutely. We went and saw the movie, my wife and I, Saturday night, and it was great.
Yes,
and
I did too.
My wife has read the whole trilogy. I haven't had a chance to yet, but it's definitely on my list. And it's easily our best-selling adult book.
Really?
And you know, for a while we didn't even actually have the other two in the store, but now that we do, they sell very well as well. So I'm very excited. And actually, our number two adult book is Pachinko. So it's like, sort of Asian culture seems to be having a moment here, and hopefully will translate to, more of those stories getting published in the future.
I hope so. And I saw too, you've got the children's bestsellers, and I know you said that your children's and YA books have been really popular in your store. And I'm curious, have you had a lot of kids kind of starting to be regulars or stopping by the store a lot? And have you been able to sort of get to know some of their reading habits?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was definitely starting to happen during the school year. We've got two schools right down the street from us. So we would see kids come in after school. Mm-hmm. That sort of peters out over the summer. People take
right.
vacations, or they're not in the area as much because they're not going to school. So, not as much over the summer, but definitely during the school year, there was a handful of kids that I knew would be in at certain times, and that was really cool to see.
That's great. And actually, that reminds me, I think I saw on your Twitter account during the school year, you had invited a class to share their book recommendations, and then they got put up in a display.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It was like a joint idea. It was something I had seen. I guess the New York Times does like a kids section every month.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd seen it there and thought that would be fun to do. And I was talking with one of the school administrators in our district, and she had told me that they already do this in the classrooms. And so we just sort of cherry picked a couple of classes and, you know, left them up for you know, about 3 weeks to a month. And it's something that I'm very much looking forward to doing when school starts again this fall.
Yeah, I think that's so great and such a nice way to sort of give them a voice to be sharing with their peers and also with adults who are looking for kids' books and sort of give them ownership in the store a little bit.
Absolutely.
That was really nice.
And, you know, selfishly, it does help us kind of find new books and determine, you know, gives us an idea of what kids really like, which is helping inform our selection. So,
oh, for sure.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I found that a lot as a school librarian, just getting to hear directly from the kids what they're interested in, what they want to see more of. It's really powerful to shape what you're offering. I think the other question I had, because I love your store so much and I'm curious, I know I always love to check out other independent bookstores when I'm on a trip or traveling. I know a lot of people are going away this summer. Do you have any other favorite independent bookstores you'd recommend from either our area or other places you've been?
Oh, I mean, from our area, I could go on for a long time. More or less, every independent bookstore in our area is great.
We do have really great ones.
So, we're very fortunate in this area. Going out of town, I would say Parnassus Books in Nashville, which is where I kind of shamelessly stole the kid door idea from.
Oh, really? That's on my list.
Yeah.
I want to go there so badly.
Yeah, no, that store is great. Books Are Magic in Brooklyn is a really great store. It's owned by Emma Straub, who is a novelist, and her husband, Michael. They do a fantastic job, especially on social media. And being in the heart of the city, they've got access to just about every author on the planet, and they have tons of great events there.
I've read one of her books, but I didn't realize she had a bookstore, too. I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously the Strand in New York City is legendary and is so incredibly intimidating. There's so many books in that store. It's amazing.
It's so wonderful, though. When I lived in New York, I go there like every week and just spend hours. You can feel like there's so much to discover in there.
For sure. Beyond those, honestly, it would just be stores where I have friends from the publishing industry. There's a bookstore in Florida called Story and Song. There's a bookstore in Tulsa called Magic City. If you're ever up in British Columbia, my point of sale system is run by the people that own Mosaic Books in Kelowna, BC, Kelowna. Beyond those kind of places that I've been, those are the other ones I would recommend. And then, you know, obviously locally here, there's so many. Concord Bookstore, Newtonville, An Unlikely Story, Wellesley Books, Trident Bookstore just reopened yesterday.
Yeah,
so
we've got
to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bookstore in the North End I've been meaning to get to. I Am Books focuses on Italian books. If you're in Reading, White Lamb Books is a great new store. Obviously, the Blue Bunny in Dedham, Peter Reynolds' bookstore.
Yeah.
So there's just
we're
a ton around here.
We are very, very spoiled.
Spoiled.
I'll definitely link to all of these in the show notes, too, if people are looking for new places to check out here or on their travels. I'm curious, too, you do have such a great kids area, and I know you had said those were really popular. Were you a big reader as a kid? Were there any children's books that really made you a reader that you recall?
I wouldn't say that I was a big reader as a kid up until I was around 12 or so. And then, oddly, the book that got me into reading a ton was the book that was totally inappropriate for me at the time was Cujo by Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
I was at like a yard sale or a flea market or something with my dad, and he had no idea what the book was about, and I sort of did. I knew it was about a killer dog, and I was like, oh, that's cool. and I was like, Dad, can I buy this? And he was like, sure. And I, you know, I read it, and it was so inappropriate for me. But from there, I sort of got into Stephen King. And then I think the next year or the next summer, one of our summer reading books, our summer reading book list in Shrewsbury was horribly old-fashioned. But the one book on there that was sort of new and interesting was The Andromeda Strain by Michael Crichton. And okay. That book got me hooked on Crichton. So I became a very typical sort of boy in my adolescence, where I read everything I could by Stephen King and Michael Crichton. and, you know, eventually I branched out, but that was kind of where it started for me. Before then, like, you know, I read books, you know, that my parents bought me or whatever. You know, I read Hardy Boys, stuff like that. But I wasn't super into reading until I was a little older.
Mm-hmm. But that's great, though, that you found those books that really pulled you in, that made you want to read more and more by those authors. And I'm sure you're going to have lots of kids and teenagers and even adults discovering those books in your store. So that's really exciting.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, are there any other books you would want to share with listeners that you think they'd be interested in checking out this summer, or even books that you think are going to be big at the store this fall that haven't come out yet?
Well, there's a book that comes out today called Vox. It's a debut novel by a lady named Christina Dalcher. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
Okay.
It is phenomenal. The premise of the book is, what if you could only say 100 words per day? And so in this sort of dystopian America, all women have been given a bracelet with a counter. And if you get over 100 words, you get in a little electric shock.
Oh, wow.
And the shocks go up they in severity with each word over 100 that you say. That's the opening of the book. And the main character, the narrator, is a woman who's a doctor. I think it's a neurologist, but something to do with the brain and how it functions. And she's given a very rare opportunity to sort of change the rules.
Oh, wow.
And but she's got a family, she's got a daughter, she's got sons, and it's very risky to, you know, she'd be putting them in danger if she tried to, you know, kind of underhandedly fix things. And I thought I had the book figured out like 5 times, and every time I was completely wrong.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
It sounds also, I've been trying to think about books I would recommend to fans of The Handmaid's Tale, and it sounds like that might be in the same vein.
It is definitely in the same vein. I've never read The Handmaid's Tale myself, mm-hmm. but it is definitely in the same vein as that story.
That's awesome. Right.
Beyond that, like, Michael Lewis has a new book that's coming out this fall. Doris Kearns Goodwin has a new book that's coming out this fall. Khalid Hosseini has a new book that's coming out this fall. Jill Lepore. So there's a lot of, and I believe Michelle Obama does as well. So there's a lot of big books that are coming out this fall. We're looking forward to a good fall here at the store.
That's great. And I'll definitely link to your fall events calendar. You have so many wonderful events coming up that I think people who are local to the Boston area will definitely be interested in. And where can people find out more and follow you if they want to be up on all the Silver Unicorn bookstore happenings?
Honestly, the easiest thing to do is just to follow along on social media or in our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Our newsletter is not invasive at all. We send it out once a week on Friday afternoons, which is, in my experience as an office worker, the exact moment when you're looking for something to procrastinate.
Smart.
So that's why we send it then. So those are just the easiest way. We're at Sil Unicorn Acton on Twitter and Silver Unicorn Books on Facebook and Instagram. And you can subscribe to our newsletter on our website.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me, Paul. It was really wonderful to hear more about the store and get your book ideas.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
If you live in the Boston area, make sure you stop by Silver Unicorn Books in Acton. And if you're looking for a bookstore in your area, a great resource is the Indie Bookstore Finder from indiebound.org. And I'll have links to that and to Silver Unicorn Books in the show notes. For more information on creating a culture of reading in your home and finding great book recommendations, you can visit my site, abookishhome.com, or follow me on Twitter at abookishhome. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to never miss an episode. Happy reading!